You are Locked On Hawks, your daily Atlanta Hawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 469 of the Locked On Hawks podcast. I am your host, Brad Roland, coming to you live here. I guess it's almost Saturday morning now as I record this. You probably can't hear anything in the background because I'm actually back home in the home, quote-unquote, studio. I was on the scene this evening at State Farm Arena, but there was a little bit of too much noise in the arena post-game. It was Friday night, all that fun stuff. It was more of a lively atmosphere after the game, and I decided the audio quality probably wouldn't be up to a good enough standard, so I went ahead and put it off recording here at home after a second watch, and here we are to talk about the 15-point loss that the Hawks had against the Pistons on this fine evening. I will say, it goes without saying, but I think if you watch this game all the way to the end, you would know the 15-point margin was not really indicative of how lopsided this game was. The Hawks were down by a lot of points for most of the night. One of those things where they actually, you know, credit to this group, but it was a group at the end of this game, and actually Lloyd Pierce said the same thing at the end of the contest. It was Jeremy Lin, Tyler Dorsey, Kevin Herter, Alex Poitras, and Miles Plumlee on the floor at the end, and credit to those guys that they never stopped playing hard in the fourth quarter, closed the gap all the way down to even. I believe it was 12 with about a minute and a half to go or so in this game, but you know, prior to that, the Hawks trailed by 29 points in the fourth quarter, so it was much more lopsided than you might believe. Based on the final box score, and that's something that just needs to be said here at the top. As usual on this podcast, we'll go down the list of what transpired here, sort of my thoughts and on the overarching themes of the game, and then we'll come back with some individual stuff. I will say, obviously, a blowout from start to finish. It's a lot harder to spin a lot of stuff in terms of trying to be positive, but there were a couple of positives, so we'll get to those as we get going here. Worth noting in this game that Torian Prince was back in the starting lineup after a one-game absence. Pierce did say, and I said this on the podcast earlier this week, that it was going to be a one-game stint for him off the bench, and he definitely did return to starting lineup in this game, so that's something that's worth mentioning. The Hawks had an interesting defensive game plan in this game early on. It didn't work, but it was Trae Young and Reggie Bullock, Kent Bazemore on Reggie Jackson, and Omari Spellman on Blake Griffin. Obviously, Spellman on Griffin was not really a huge surprise, but kind of interesting. Before we even get further deeper into this game, Griffin, I thought, was the best player on the court, despite the fact that he only had 6 points and was 2 of 10 from the floor. It's kind of a perfect example of a situation where the box score can lie to you. Blake was, I mean, obviously, I think Andre Drummond has a pretty good claim as well. He was very good in this game by his standards, but Blake was dominant at times without scoring. You know, 6 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists, and 2 steals for Griffin. He was in complete control all night long. It was one of those interesting sort of subplots where you have to be able to watch a game and look beyond the box score, and that was a good reminder of that because he was the best player on the court. It was, you know, it was either Drummond or Griffin, but at the same time, it was just pretty impressive from Griffin to kind of not even really be all that aggressive in terms of getting his own shot, but just kind of in full control. There was something I wanted to at least say at the top of this thing. But anyway, back to the actual game and sort of the machinations here. The Pistons went on a 23-7 run to start this game, and honestly, in retrospect, that basically ended the game when they went up 16 early. It was comically bad defensively for the Hawks. Lloyd Pierce called 2 timeouts in the first 5 minutes of this game. He was, you know, visually frustrated. After the game, talked about a lack of effort. He was very demonstrative, actually, by his standards. Obviously, you know, Pierce has been very upbeat in general. I mean, he's able to joke around after losses a little bit, at least sort of shed some light and kind of be a pretty positive guy after games. But it was definitely clear that the effort level was eating at him after this game. And he mentioned the starting lineup particularly. That's definitely worth pointing out, and I would agree with him. There was ugly lack of effort stuff from guys like Torian Prince, guys like Kent Bazemore, who I, you know, often credit for playing hard. He was not good in this game, and there was definitely some effort from Kent. Alex Len was, I thought, terrible in this game. We'll talk about him later on. But that starting five really had some trouble, especially early on in this game, but really at all points in this game. But the first 5 minutes or so was kind of the entire game in a nutshell, as the Pierce then pulled the starting five all off the floor after the second time out at the five minute mark or so of the first quarter. They brought in Alex Poitras to go along with Jeremy Lin and DeAndre Bembry and Kevin Herter and Dwight Dedman. That was interesting. I mean, not terribly surprising. It was, and obviously the starters kind of earned that quick hook, but something to at least sort of say because it wasn't a normal thing that Pierce does on a regular basis at that point in the game. Detroit opened up making 11 of their first 14 shots. They led by 18 pretty quickly, and then it got up to 24 by the latter portion of the first quarter. The Hawks played six different big men in the first quarter, which is kind of crazy to see for an NBA team to do. Obviously, you know, that counts Vince Carter, who really isn't like a true big, but still guys who only play four and five. They played six of those guys in one quarter. They played 12 guys in the first quarter as Pierce was just trying to make something happen to stop the bleeding. The Hawks allowed a 148 defensive rating in the first quarter. That's just absolutely abhorrent. In the offensive category, only a 74 offensive rating, so it was really bad offensively. It was really bad defensively. The Pistons shot 60% from the floor and made six threes in the first quarter. Basically, everything that could have gone wrong in the first quarter went wrong, and the end result was a 40-20 margin. From there, the Hawks really just never recovered, honestly. The rest of the night, the Hawks actually won this game by 5 points. That is partially misleading because of the late run in the fourth quarter. But you know, even if you took the absolute worst case from the second, third, and fourth quarter, the Hawks were down 29 at one point. That's only a 9-point loss over about 2.5 quarters of basketball. That's fairly respectful. But one of those things where the first quarter was just ghastly. You know, Pierce even made a joke after the game about how it wasn't the third quarter in this spot. It was there's always seems to be one quarter, but it wasn't the third. It was the first, and that kind of makes it even worse, honestly, in a lot of ways. You know, credit to Miles Plumlee, who came in and sort of stopped bleeding a little bit in the second quarter. He made two dunks early. Actually played quite well. We'll talk about him more later. I thought Alex Lynn, as I mentioned before, was particularly bad in the first half and only played 8 minutes. I think it was pretty clear by the rotations that Pierce had kind of seen enough of Alex Lynn in this particular game and did not ever put him back in there despite a lack of foul trouble or anything like that. There was a no point guard lineup deployed in the second quarter as well as once more in the second half. Didn't really work particularly well in this game. I will point out that at times this season, that's been a very effective lineup. And in fact, the numbers were really good on that lineup early in the year, but this was not a spot where it actually worked at all. The offense really kind of sputtered, and that ended up hurting Atlanta because, honestly, both point guards were pretty solid-ish in this game, especially Jeremy Lin. I thought he played particularly well in the fourth quarter. So a lot of feedback from fans on that did not like the no point guard lineup. I understand that. I will say, though, just in its modern defense, it has worked this time at times this season. It just did not work in this spot. There was a 6-0 run by the Hawks to get down by less than 20 briefly in the second quarter. Later than that, but it never really got closer than that until the fourth quarter. The Pistons still shot 6% for the entire half. The Hawks had 10 turnovers that led to 18 points from the Pistons. They shot 2 of 15 from 3. It was kind of a perfect storm kind of thing. A 135 defensive rating in the first half, 93 offensive rating. There were five guys in double figures from the Pistons in the first half, and that did not include Blake Griffin. Just to kind of point out how bad the defense was. Again, most of that was the first quarter, but still just kind of an ugly performance from start to finish. After halftime, the margin basically went between like 20 and 29 almost the entire way in the second half until the last like 5-6 minutes of this game. There were just one interesting rotation note to put out there that both Kevin Huerter and Dwayne Dedmon came in within the first 3 minutes of the third quarter. Kent Bazemore got a very quick hook without foul trouble in the third quarter. I think that was probably a frustration removal from Pierce. He didn't say that necessarily, but something that I at least noticed and wanted to point out that was a very quick hook for Bazemore in the third quarter. There was a Plumlee Dedmon front court as Pierce, as I said before, was looking for kind of any excuse to kind of do anything rotation wise in the second half. It didn't work out particularly well, but still. It wasn't for lack of effort. And when you have Dwayne Dedmon, who can kind of play defense at the four, you can probably do that a little bit. I've actually advocated for that a little bit right now because the fact that Dedmon might be better than the other options at the four. I wouldn't necessarily do it with Plumlee, but Plumlee has played well the last two games, so no shots at him in that particular spot. There was an air ball free throw from Tyler Dorsey when he first came in the game. Obviously, he gave some better minutes later on in the stint, but that was a sort of microcosm as well. That actually drew quite a reaction. And there, as I mentioned before, one more time, there was a nice run late, got it down to 12 with that Lynn, Dorsey, Huerter, Poitras, and Plumlee lineup, and those guys closed the gap to make things look more respectable in the box score. So after a bit of a note here, we'll come back with the individual stuff in this game as we always do, but I do want to take a moment to remind you guys to subscribe to the podcast. I know this is probably not a show that everyone's going to be sort of jumping to listen to after a very lopsided defeat. It was kind of a lackluster crowd at different times in this game, but hopefully you guys will tell your friends about this podcast. If you were the diehards or listening to this, I definitely appreciate it. Please subscribe to the show, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, Spotify, all those places and more. We should be there, so please please tell your friends about the podcast. Tell your friends about the entire network as well, as we have Locked On Falcons podcast. We have Locked On Braves, all those fun spots. If you are a fan of a team, obviously the Hawks, but even beyond that, the Locked On Podcast Network is here for you. And that especially means this show. So please subscribe and tell your friends. I really, really appreciate it. After this quick break, we'll be back again to talk about the individual stuff in this game. So we're back to discuss the individuals. You know, one of those spots where only a couple guys I thought played particularly well. I will say again, it wasn't quite as bad as the numbers indicated outside of the first quarter. The first quarter was just bad. So we'll start with starting lineup in this game. The two guys that I did not think played poorly in the starting lineup necessarily were Trae Young and Amari Spellman. Spellman had 14 points and 10 rebounds in 27 minutes. That probably overstates his impact just a little bit, but he was he did provide some good energy, some good effort plays, as he always seems to do. He has a good motor. The rebounding was encouraging. He had second most rebounds in this game. I thought he was at least active, gave good effort, and I think that was he was sort of immune from the energy stuff that Pierce did not like to see. So credit to Spellman. You know, defensively there were some moments, as there always are with him and most rookies, but one of those things where I thought he played just fine, and probably even a little bit better than that by his standards. As for Young, 16 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, and 6 turnovers. So that, you know, there were some ugly moments here. His shooting has been really bad still. He was 0-3 from 3 in this game. Over the last couple of games, it's been really ugly in terms of his 3-point shooting. Again, I'm not particularly worried, but he is in a slump. Obviously, I think at this point, kind of well-documented slump as a shooter. I'm not, again, worried about Trae Young's shooting, but it's coming along recently where, you know, the last now 4 games, he was 2 of 8, 0 of 7, 1 of 7. And 0 of 3 from 3. So that's a pretty ugly recipe. You know, credit to Young, though. Got to the line 8 times, made all 8, and had some nice passes in this game. Had one particularly impressive pass in the second half. You know, defensively, he had some issues against Reggie Jackson and others, but I thought Young was not terrible by any means. I thought he was kind of just fine, and didn't really have all the effort stuff. There were a couple moments defensively where it was startling to see how badly he looked at different times, but that's just going to happen to Trae Young every once in a while. So I thought he was okay here. And it was not the reason why the Hawks were blown off the court in this game. The other three guys in the starting lineup, though, played poorly. You know, I mentioned Kent Bazemore before, 8 points, 3 rebounds, and an assist for Baze. He had a block shot as well, had 2 turnovers, minus 19. You know, Bazemore was not energetic in this game. I think the last couple of games, is probably that wasn't just tonight. I think Baze is sort of in a lull right now. He's a guy who's gotten in his head a couple times in the recent past. I mean, even going back to last year, Baze is a guy who can sort of get in his head at different points in the season. But normally, effort is not an issue with Kent Bazemore. In this game, it was pretty clear that he was not playing as hard as he can. One of those things where it's pretty frustrating from your, you know, probably what I would argue be your team leader. I know Vince Carter is sort of the guy who has that de facto role now, but Bazemore, in terms of the guys who have been on this core recently, Bazemore was kind of been the leader of this team, the captain of this team, pretty much. And you know, he didn't set the tone in this game from an effort perspective. So you know, I'm not necessarily worried about Kent Bazemore because of his track record of success. But at the same time, he was not good here by any means. He was bad from start to finish in this game, and I think Pierce left him in there for a lot longer than I probably would have thought that he would have in the fourth quarter, maybe sending a message. I mentioned them before, the quick hook as well in the third quarter, just trying to prod Kent a little bit into playing a little bit better, a little bit harder. But this is an ugly night for Kent Bazemore, and something has to be said. Same goes for Torian Prince, 6 points, 5 rebounds, 2 steals for Torian. He was 2 of 5 from the floor, pretty quiet. He took a couple of bad shots, did make a 3 in this game, but was just listless, honestly. Both starting wings, Prince and Bazemore, you know, arguably 2 of the top 3 returning players from last season, were just bad in this game. Prince wasn't damaging in the fact that he was taking bad shots. That's something that he's done in the past, is take bad shots. There were 2, I think, offhand that I thought were bad out of the 5, but only 5 shot attempts is kind of low for Prince, but he just didn't do much else. No assists, and just didn't really make anybody better. Defensively, had some really ugly moments as well. It was a team effort defensively in terms of how poor they were for most of this game. But Prince was not good on either end of the floor in this spot. And Alex Len, I mentioned before, he was, I thought, really, really bad. 2 points, 2 rebounds, and an assist, and two turnovers in only 8 minutes. Only Vince Carter played less. And, you know, Carter, obviously, that's maintenance because the game was kind of just over, and he's just sort of in a smaller role now than he was at the beginning of the season. But Alex Len, at some point, they have to go to Dwayne Dedmon. That's something I've been saying for a while now. Dedmon is just so much better than Alex Len. I've defended that contract. I think it was still fine. He's still young, and we saw some flashes from him early in the year. He's in a lull right now, though. He's not playing well. And honestly, you know, at no point is Devin not better than Alex Len. I think it's probably a good time to go ahead and make that change. I know for a while they wanted to hold out there. I'm not really sure what the mindset is in terms of the coaching staff on that particular issue. And in the grand scheme, it doesn't really matter all that much, but Devin needs to be playing more than Len. He obviously did in this game, but I would just start Dwayne Devin. He's your best center by a wide margin, and that probably needs to happen at some point in time. We'll see if it does between now and this trip. But Len was bad in this game. There's no way around it, and I think it was not a coincidence at all that Len never came back in this game, considering how bad he was in his 8 minutes of playing time. To the bench, where everybody played in this game. Tyler Dorsey did not appear until the fourth quarter. Then he played the final 10 minutes of the game, and he was plus 12. So, shout out to Tyler Dorsey on that. He was 0-3 from the floor, 0-2 from 3. He was 2-6 from the free throw line, which is kind of weird because he's normally a good shooter. You know, Dorsey, that's probably his best asset, is his shooting. Definitely kind of strange to see him struggle at the free throw line a little bit in this spot, including the air ball that he had. But it was good energy from him, you know. Not too much takeaway because it was almost pure garbage time in the fourth quarter, but he was on the floor for the big run, so it wasn't like he played all that poorly, even though his shot was not falling in this game. Other than that, Vince Carter, only six minutes, didn't really do too much on the floor, and almost not even worth talking about. Vince was just kind of out there. I think the Hawks are now realizing, or Vince is realizing that he's going to be, I think, on the periphery in terms of actual playing time, especially when John Collins returns. I think Carter will get some DNPs, and he probably should. This is kind of the role that he probably should be in at this point in time, so we'll see that moving forward, but not too much to say about Vince in this game. Alex Poythress, 11 minutes for Poythress, 3 points, 2 rebounds. He actually came in pretty early in this spot. He was the first power forward off the bench, I think in part to deal with Blake Griffin, who I thought he did a decent job there, at least athletically and energetically. Didn't take a lot of shots, but actually was plus six. A lot of that was just at the end of this game in the big run when he's on the floor. He had 5 fouls, but I thought Poythress was just fine. Didn't do anything particularly noteworthy on either end of the spectrum, but he was fine just to be out there. DeAndre Bembry, 2 of 6 from the floor, 4 of 8 from the free throw line, 0 of 1 from the 3-point line, 8 points, 3 rebounds, and a turnover for Bembry. His finishing is still bad around the rim, something I've been saying a lot, and especially when I talked to Jeff Siegel on a recent podcast about DeAndre's finishing. It's a problem because he's not good at the rim, and he's not good at the free throw line, and that's a bad combination. Also, his shooting's fine, but he's not a super utility guy in terms of getting a shot off from the perimeter. So Bembry's been struggling the last few games. I didn't think he was quite as bad as he had been the last couple of games before this, but still a couple of ugly times when he had the ball in his hands and he just has to finish better. 2-6 from the floor isn't a disaster by any means, but I thought he was just, he's probably below average by his standards in this game. Dedmon, I mentioned before, is the best center on the roster right now, obviously, and probably has been the entire time, but 13 points, 9 rebounds for Dedmon. He was okay. I thought he gave good effort. It wasn't like he was just excellent in this game by any means, but I thought Dedmon played hard, which is a stark contrast to some of the players on the floor before he came into the game. He was flying around. That's kind of all you want to see from him. Obviously, he's pretty skilled as well, but 13-9 was not a fluke. I thought he played pretty well. Made a 3, and we brought effort and was a solid two-way player for the most part in this game. Miles Plumlee, second straight game when he played well here. 14 points, 4 rebounds. He was 7 of 8 from the floor. Missed both of his free throws, but I thought Plumlee gave good energy. Obviously, that's something that Pierce was just trying to go to. I mentioned before this game started that if there was ever another spot to play Plumlee, it would be against the Pistons, who play Andre Drummond and play two bigs most of the time. They went to Plumlee, I think, out of just trying to look for a jolt of energy. He brought it. So, you know, kudos to him on that. You know, obviously, he's not the most skilled guy in the world, but he's a great athlete. We saw that again on full display here. A couple of nice highlight plays from Plumlee. He doesn't, you know, I think most nights he shouldn't play, but when he does, this is kind of the way he needs to play. Just kind of be an irritant, fly around, be an athlete, make things happen. He was able to give them good minutes in this game. Kevin Huerter, 29 minutes. He actually played a lot of minutes here, which is not a big surprise considering all the garbage time there was, but 2 points, 6 rebounds, had 3 assists. I thought Huerter was okay. I wish he would hunt for his shot a little bit more than he does. That's a theme that I've had throughout the season. Only 5 shot attempts in 29 minutes. But, you know, he was probably had a sort of a weird week. I guess he had a passing in the family from what I saw on Twitter. That's why he missed the last game earlier this week. But, you know, Huerter was fine in this game. It wasn't like he was terrible or anything, but just didn't make a huge impact offensively. Defensively, he was able to play hard and kind of contribute in a better way. He at least brought effort in a way that the starters didn't on the wings. So that's something that should be said for Huerter. And finally, Jeremy Lin had a very nice game, especially in the fourth quarter. 19 points, 4 assists, 3 steals, 3 rebounds, 5 of 9 from the floor, 2 of 4 from 3, 7 of 7 from the free throw line. I thought Lim was not excellent early in his first half stint. I thought he was fine, definitely, which was an upgrade over some of the minutes that guys were getting elsewhere. But he obviously did play well in the second half, especially in the fourth quarter. So credit to Lynn. His pick and roll numbers are very good. I talked about this a little bit offline with Jeff Siegel actually earlier this week about Lynn's pick and roll numbers being very, very good. No big surprise there. That's something he's always been able to do. He's very, very crafty and good in the pick and roll as an operator, as a scorer when he wants to be, and also as a distributor. My issue, or with, I guess my worry with Lynn is with him on the defensive end and athletically right now, but he does look better and better as things go on. There have been little lulls in there, but just as a general rule, his improvement's been pretty evident in terms of him getting more comfortable, and he played well here. He's played well the last few games, and that's good to see from Jeremy Lynn. I know a lot of people want to see him play more. He has a lot of fans, and that's one of the things that you have to say, but I don't think he's ever going to play a lot of minutes at the expense of Trae Young. We might see more two-point guard stuff in certain lineups, especially if the wings are struggling. But Lynn is just doing his job, doing it well. He's been a team leader, and everybody in the locker room likes him quite a bit. So that's why he was brought in. We'll see how much he plays moving forward. But I thought Lynn was very, very good here, and that's something that has to be said, obviously, in this game. So that's going to do it for the in terms of the individual stuff. The Hawks, on the whole, allowed a 120 offensive rating, a 105. They allowed a 120 offensive rating for the Pistons. They had a 105 offensive rating of their own, which isn't a disaster. They actually got to the line 40 times. The Hawks have been bad at getting to the line this year. They got to the line a lot. If you were looking for one positive in this game, it's probably, at least as a team, it was probably them getting to the line 40 times. At least they were pretty aggressive in that way. That was mostly Young and Lynn. Also, Bembry got to the line 8 times as well. So those three guys got to the line and combined 23 times. That's pretty impressive for those three guys. At least if you're looking for one positive, that's probably it. From a team perspective, individually, obviously, I would say Spellman, Dedmon, Plumlee, and Lynn were the guys you want to circle as positives. I thought Young was fine too, but guys who actually play at or above their normal level. There were four or five guys, and everybody else was pretty below. And then some pretty ugly performances from Lynn. Alex Lynn, I should say, Kent Bazemore, and Torian Prince. That's kind of it for today's podcast. It's one of those things where I could probably go on forever about a blowout, but by the time the game was going to the fourth quarter, it was academically over, and honestly, at the half, it was over. So it was one of those weird games that I'm sure people tuned out of in the third and fourth quarter. So there you go. Hopefully that checks you in on terms of the rest of the game and how things went. The Hawks are now on the road for a while. They go on a four-game trip beginning on Sunday in Los Angeles. They're going to travel on Saturday, I'm sure, taking on the Lakers on Sunday. This is a gauntlet of a road trip. I actually wrote a little bit about the next 5 weeks of their schedule at peacestreethoops.com. That went up on Friday morning. It's ugly. They'll also be the underdog in the next 17 games. That actually includes tonight, but barring some sort of injury or weirdness to an opponent, the Hawks are not supposed to win any of these games. They're obviously going to win some of them, I would imagine. Teams don't really lose 17 in a row in the NBA very often, but the schedule is now much more demanding than it has been to this point in time. And after this loss, they're now 3-9. So worry time a little bit if you're looking for wins, I would say, because this road trip especially is brutal. The Hawks play the Lakers, Warriors, Nuggets, and Pacers. Yeah, that's really rough. On paper, looks like 3-13 is the most likely scenario. It wouldn't blow me away if the Hawks stole one of these games, but they'll be sizable underdogs in all four of these, and we'll see how they respond on the road over the next week or so. So with that said, please stay tuned for the next podcast that I have. It'll be very, very late into the night on Sunday morning into Monday morning. Sorry, Sunday night and then Monday morning, as the Hawks have a 9:30 tip Eastern time in Los Angeles on Sunday. So bear with me for a very, very late podcast that morning to have you guys ready for the Monday morning commute. So hopefully you guys will be staying out for that one. But if you're not, I'll have a breakdown for you for Monday morning. So that'll be the next time that we have a podcast, barring some sort of weirdness in the next 24 hours. So please stay tuned for that. Please subscribe to the podcast, do all that fun stuff, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.